Lord God, with joy we hail the gift of this day and thank thee that it is a reminder of thy covenant faithfulness unto all creation. We thank thee for the fulfillment of this day and for its promise. And we pray that as we worship and as we work, that the thoughts of our minds, the meditations of our hearts, and the deeds of our lives may be acceptable unto thee. And in the name of one who taught us when we pray to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. But deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Let us hear the word of God as it is found in the first 14 verses of the second epistle to Timothy. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also, wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou, therefore, ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher to the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee by the Holy Ghost who dwelleth in us. To be human is to be committed. From the first breath of infancy to the last gasp that occurs at the moment of death, even the act of breathing is a commitment. If one shall say, I do not wish to be committed, then it would be better that he had not been born. If one should say, I cannot be committed, then he'd best never go to school or take a job or get married or become a parent, because life is commitment. We may indulge in some ambiguous and ambivalent shadow boxing with one another and with ourselves about the question, to be or not to be committed. But this is indeed an exercise in futility. Therefore, the question before us this morning is not whether to be or not to be committed. But the question is, committed to whom? From the first century of the Christian era, from a Roman prison, from the pen of a veteran soldier of the cross of Christ, in a kind of last will and testament written to his son Timothy, his son in the ministry, the great apostle Paul gives a ringing affirmation of the content and the intent and the extent of his commitment. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Would you notice that Paul did not say, I know what I have believed, though he could have said that. Rather, he said, I know whom I have believed. Whom you believe is more important than what you believe. Now, Paul suggests in the very next verse of this passage I read that what you believe is also important. Hold fast the form of sound words, he says. But that's secondary to our basic commitment, which is a commitment to a person. I know whom I have believed. This language here is very strong. You sons of Hellas, and maybe there's even a daughter of Hellas here now, You sons and daughters of Hellas will know that that word know, which is used here, is a very strong verb in the Greek, which suggests knowledge based upon experience as distinguished from book learning. Paul is saying, I know experientially whom I have believed. And the perfect tense of that verb is important because it suggests an action which was marked in a moment in time, the result of which continues through all the future. Paul looked back to his Damascus Road experience and that remarkable encounter with the living Lord, and he could say, this marked a time of a new commitment in my life. I know whom I have believed. And he goes on to say, I am sure. That word translated, I am persuaded, means I'm just dead sure. I'm absolutely certain that he is able to guard what I've committed to him until that day of judgment. Occasionally in this place, one encounters a brother or a sister who says, my faith has been severely tried and tested. Occasionally there will be usually some first semester or first year student who will even say they are trying to destroy my faith at that seminary. Now that's a disturbing kind of a statement for many reasons. One reason it's disturbing is that it raises a whole lot of other questions. Where is your faith? Is it possible that faith, which can so easily and readily be threatened, is faith that is not centered in a person, but is centered in some proposition or some set of cherished propositions? Pick out the most diabolical and clever one among us this morning in the faculty, and let me tell you, he is not capable of destroying your faith if your faith is centered in the Lord Jesus Christ and the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. I know whom I have believed, said Paul. John Oxenham speaks poetically of this, not what, but whom I do believe that in my darkest hour of need hath comfort that no mortal creed to mortal man may give. Not what, but whom. For Christ is more than all the creeds, and his full life of gentle deeds shall all the creeds outlive. Not what I do believe, but whom. Who walks beside me in the gloom? Who shares the burden wearisome? Who all the dim way doth illume and bids me look beyond the tomb, the larger life to live? Not what I do believe, but whom. Not what, but whom. Some years ago, a devout Christian physician, a friend of mine and a friend of my family's, said to me, what do you hold on to as a Christian when there just isn't much to hold on to? And I said to my physician friend in reply, I'll have to say to you that faith is not easy for me. My name is Thomas, and I therefore am the heir of the doubting disciple. I lived for a time in the show-me state of Missouri, and faith is not now, nor has it ever been, easy for me. But there is a conviction at the center of my life which I have held on to when there wasn't much else to hold on to. In July of 1936, when I was a boy between my 10th and 11th years, the grace of God got hold of my life, and I invited the Lord Jesus Christ to come into my heart as Lord and Savior. And I now know that that same day, the Lord began to deal with me about a call to the Christian ministry. And I said to my friend, though there have been many things I have doubted, these are two that have sustained me, that God in His grace through Jesus Christ has saved me, and that God in that same mysterious grace has touched me and called me into the Christian ministry. I can say here today, and I say it gladly and humbly, I know whom I have believed. And I am sure that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. That's an interesting word in the Greek, that word paratheke. It's a deposit, such as one would make in a financial institution. And we have left on deposit with God our lives and our destinies. But those of you who know this text and really studied it know that there is another reading of it which actually is probably more accurate in terms of the Greek, and this is the way the Revised Standard Version translates it. I know whom I have believed, and I am sure that He is able to guard until that day what has been committed to me. Not only do I believe that He will keep what I've committed to Him, but I believe He will keep what He has committed to me. Now, I must be very careful at this point, because this keeping will not be without some effort on my part. The need to be faithful, the need to be diligent, the need to be a disciplined, consistent Christian, the need to keep working out the faith and working through the faith. But I have not the slightest doubt that God will keep what He's committed to me. And He will keep what He's committed to you. For though we have this treasure in an earthen vessel, both the treasure and the vessel belong to Him. D.T. Niles, that Methodist ecumenical Christian from Ceylon, who has blessed so many of us through his proclamation in preaching and in writing, has written in his little book, This Jesus Whereof We Are Witnesses, the following, which I should like to quote. This conviction, says Niles, that it is I that God wants, has proved to be for me real security in my ministry. It has helped me to take my work seriously without taking myself seriously also. For as regards myself, I am not important except to God. And of Him I have learnt, as the years have gone by, to say with larger and larger confidence, I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He will keep that which I have committed to Him against that day. He called, and I answered, and my answer is safe with Him. I can recall the answer by apostasy, but as long as I leave it with Him, He will keep it. keep it through failure and temptation, through sin and doubt, until life's long day comes to its evening and the night turns to dawn and I see His face. I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He is able to guard what I've committed to Him and what He has committed to me against that day. Amen. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, work in us to do His pleasure, equipping us in all things to do His will, and causing us to be committed unto Him until that day.